Good morning, everyone. The Finance Committee of the City of Warwick is called to order at 9:20 a.m. I think, as I look through the audience, I guess you all slept here for the last 3 days the same as we did. At least that's the way it appears. So we need a motion to move favorable action on PCR 8518.
Move for favorable action on PCR 8518.
We have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Need a motion to move favorable PCR 8618.
Motion to move favorable PCR 8618.
Second.
We have a motion. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Both items have been moved to the floor for discussion. Any other questions from members of the committee?
No.
Hearing none, committee stands adjourned at 9:23.
The City Council come to order. The clerk will call the roll.
Mr. Marola?
Here.
Mr. Cawley?
Present.
Mr. Gallucci?
Here.
Mr. Howe?
Here.
Mr. Lattiser?
Here.
Mr. McAllister?
Present.
Mr. Ricks?
Here.
Ms. Travis?
Here.
Tonight present.
If Councilman Lattiser could lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
So proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight o'er the ramparts we so gallantly streaming, and the rockets' red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Say, does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the
I just want to take a moment to thank all the council members and also the members of the administration that are left for all their help over the last several weeks. It's the first time that I've been involved with a budget where the mayor had come in 2.5 weeks before the budget. It was not his budget, and he didn't even have time to hire staff. It makes it very difficult when You have resignations, including the chief financial officer for the city of Warwick, the finance director, about a week and a half before you're examining over a $300 million budget. I don't know how Mayor Solomon could deal with all those hurdles in such a short amount of time. And for this council to fear, to feel, or believe in many of the numbers and figures that were thrown at us and the new mayor at the last minute, it really is a Herculean task when you look at numbers and you don't have the CEO and the CFO of a corporation that put those numbers together for you present to lead you in an analysis of what those numbers mean and how it impacts a community and your family and your fellow council members and the new mayor. I don't need to rehash what we've gone through now going on our fourth day. I can tell you that I've said before we're looking at $14.8 million in increases. We can't even come close to that with a maximum tax increase. I don't know how we can expect to balance budgets when we're faced with the situation that we were faced with and are faced with before we vote. When you look at the mere fact that tax revenue was down, the situation that the schools presented us with, you know, I remember many times listening to former Council President Solomon talk about people going to the buffet and putting the bill on your credit card. We're stuck with the bill, and we were not there when a lot of these expenses happened that we could control. I have faith in the future of the city. I have faith in the new administration of Mayor Solomon that this will not happen in the future. But it doesn't change the fact that we are where we are, and we have the fiscal responsibility to fund as many of these issues that have been presented to us, knowing that we can't. It's impossible to fund these. As I said before, I've never seen this many increases, and be in a situation. I know former Mayor Avedisian for 18 years had never forwarded to us a no tax increase budget. On this year, he forwarded us a no tax increase budget. Reminds me of punting on third down instead of you know, working that last play to see what you can do to help us. It is what it is. With that said, I can guarantee you that no one in this room is going to be happy with what this council has to do. There's not going to be one person that walks out of here with the feeling that they've been vindicated and they've been totally listened to. This is a compromise, and in many situations, I think that this is a situation where we are faced with funding things, as I said before, that were already accumulated, if you will. I know council members have amendments. I know that issues will be debated when those amendments are made. And then at the end, we will recess to determine what the outcome of those amendments are. We have listened in particular to many presentations that were made by members of the public and our staff. I know they impacted us significantly, in particular roads, in particular parks and recreation, expenses. Those were all meaningful and impactful to us. And I know the council members have really dwelled on what we can do and what we can't do faced with this budget. But I'd like to thank all the department heads, staff, and the members of the public for taking the time to come every night to express their opinion. Reminds me, I have three daughters, and it reminds me of when they come and they ask you for things that you can't provide, and you have to explain why. That's never an easy task, and that's how I feel in this situation. It's not that I don't appreciate everybody's opinion, and it's not that I believe that we could be in a situation where we'd like to be able to deliver on everything. Low taxes, great services, employees that are happy, school departments that are happy. You have to do the best you can faced with the situation that you're in. With that said, we've heard the public speak. We've closed the public hearing. Are there any amendments that any council members would like to make to this budget? Oh, sorry, if you could move it first so we could open up the discussion.
Move for open discussion.
We have a second. Councilman Ricks, Councilman Howe, Councilman Travis, and Councilman McAllister. And is it a motion for favorable action?
Favorable action.
Okay. And we've seconded by Councilman Howe, Councilman Ricks, Councilwoman Travis, Councilman McAllister. You have a first amendment, Councilman Lattiser?
Yes, Mr. President, I do have some amendments. I would also like to say a few words before presenting those. I also would like to extend my thanks and appreciation to all of my colleagues on the City Council, our council liaison, members of the public, all the department heads who have spent countless amount of hours helping us, trying to understand this problem that we have. And I compare the problem to a ship that's run aground. And none of us, from the new Mayor Solomon to the colleagues on the City Council, none of us were the captain of that ship. The ship's run aground, and we're the cleanup crew. We're the one that's been called in to clean up the mess. And it's never a pleasant experience when you're the cleanup crew. But nonetheless, this council has taken on that responsibility when we got elected. We're up for the challenge. And as the council president said, it certainly isn't going to be painful, painless. But nonetheless, again, thank you to everyone for all of the input, all of the suggestions, all of the help to get us to where we're going to end up being. Having said that, the First Amendment will start off with line 89-00, school department, a move to increase $1,500,000. Line item 18-400.
We have to do it one at a time, Councilman.
One at a time?
One at a time. So I have a second to that, Councilman Howe, Councilman Ricks, Councilman McAllister. Any discussion on that line item? Councilman Ricks, did you?
Thank you, Council President. We heard for about 3 hours the school department's presentation, our questions, and the public's questions on their demand for $8.1 million. That amount was disingenuous, I'm sorry to say, but when we're closing three school buildings, and when I say three school buildings, I'm talking about the moving of the early education center from Drum Rock to John Brown Francis, and while the Drum Rock building will still be open as the vocational center, it will not have teachers and staff based at that location, certainly not to the extent of an elementary school or an early education center, in addition to closing two elementary schools. And with the closing of the essential closing of three buildings, the school department is estimating a savings of $4,159,463. Three buildings across this entire school district, which last year had a budget of $166 million, is a woefully low estimate when the closing of each of these buildings is going to save multiple millions of dollars, simply looking at the staff reductions and taking that $166 million and looking at it into the context of the total number of buildings that are remaining. In addition, in a year that we're closing all of these schools, and in a year that, I'll move on to focus on the numbers here. We have a school department that's requesting a 6.65% increase to their budget at the same time that, by their own incredibly low estimates, they're saving $4.1 million. And they tell us that if they hadn't been closing these three buildings, they'd be requesting over $12 million, instead of only an additional $8.1 million. These numbers simply do not add up, and no school department in the state functions like this. How do I know that no school department in the state functions like this? Well, let's take a look at the law. I'm looking at Rhode Island General Laws 16-2-21. You can see it in subsection D6. And that states, the budget adopted and presented by any school committee for the fiscal year 2013 and for each fiscal year thereafter, that includes, of course, this fiscal year of 2019, shall not propose the appropriation of municipal funds exclusive of state and federal aid in excess of 104% of the total of municipal funds appropriated by the city or town council for school purposes for the previous fiscal year. So what that says in plain English is, by law, you can't request more than a 4% increase. And yet the school committee, school department, is telling us in their budget presentation repeatedly that they need that 8.1, that 6.65% increase, or they're going to sue the city. They're requesting over $3 million more than they're even legally allowed to request. It's absurd. And I would urge them to take a closer look at the law, take a closer look at their budgetary needs, and perhaps save some money that could be that they are currently inclined to spend on legal expenses, which would just increase the costs on both sides rather than putting the money toward the students. And that's what it's all about, what it should be all about, is let's make sure that this money goes back to the students. Now, by the way, this request for an additional $8.1 million, that's on top of the $3 million that the city increased for funding for the schools last year. So, City of Warwick is in full compliance with our maintenance of effort guidelines, as the state requires under General Laws 16-7-23, that each community shall contribute local funds to its school committee. By the way, digging into these numbers again, the statewide average per student for education is $16,558. Warwick is contributing $18,629. That's 12.5% more than the state average. City of Warwick, we are contributing more than enough money to ensure that the students have an excellent education. We urge the school committee to take that money and spend it wisely so that our students do indeed have the best possible education. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ricks. I would just like to echo some of your comments. Last year, this council, as you pointed out, gave the school committee $3 million in case there were raises. There were raises. That goes into level funding the schools for this year. So if you entered into a contract for $3 million more, or $4.1 million more, and it was built in to your salaries in case you had it last year, it's built in to your salaries for this year. Plus, this council is giving $1.5 million, as Councilman Lattisaw just amended this. And I also agree with Councilman Ricks about the closing of schools. This is a moving target. We can all make good arguments about how much that saves. I mean, simple math, if you divide 19 buildings into $166 million, comes out to close to $9 million a school. Granted, they're elementary schools, so maybe we can have a discount factor on that. And granted, one of the buildings is going to be used to expand VOTEC, which I think is a great idea. So maybe it's less than $9 million a building. $4 million for two or two and a half buildings, a savings? I don't know. I look at those numbers. I look at the average of the cost of a building. 19 buildings divided into 163. I still acknowledge that you have administrative staff, et cetera, so maybe you discount that more. But $4 million for, in essence, two and a half buildings. Let's even be more generous. Let's say two buildings with a discount. $10 million, 11 or 12? Or is that not rational? I don't know. We can sit here and debate it. We gave $3 million last year. It's built in this year. We're given an additional $1.5 million. I don't know how much more this community can give. We're now the third largest city in the state of Rhode Island. We fund education above the median level for the state. Our population is declining. our school population is declining. Our budget is increasing. I don't statistically know how that works, at least where I came from. When you have closing of buildings, less students, and don't get me wrong, I'd also like to commend the school department and the school committee because they do a lot of hard work. They make difficult decisions with regard to programs and restructuring middle schools, and it's not an easy task. But I'm not here to comment on the job they do day in and day out, because it's a difficult one, and I appreciate that job they do. We, as a city council, cannot tell them how to spend their money. We can only give them a light lump sum. We can only say that it should be sufficient based on what we see of the needs of not only our community and other communities. We don't need to rehash these points, but I think it's pretty clear that we all need to live within our means. A 6.65% increase when inflation is 2%, you're closing buildings and the school population is going down, is inherently unreasonable. I hope that this is sufficient. I believe that it's sufficient, and it's just one community that, in my opinion, does more than its fair share for schools. With that said, are there any other comments? Yes, Councilman Lattisaw.
Thank you, Mr. President. In addition to that, I'd like to point out that over the years, our student population has declined by about 12,000 students over the years. And we heard from Councilman Ricks the number of 18,000, which is, it's a very simple math issue. 18,000 is an accurate number. Take the budget divided by the students, you're going to come out with a cost per student. So if you consider a loss of about 12,000 students over the years, and let's average it out and give benefit and say $10,000 per student. That's $120 million over the years. So the answer isn't to continue to throw more money at a problem. The answer is to fix the problem. Since the 1970s, we have thrown nationwide trillions of dollars into the educational system, trillions of dollars. And today we have a decline in graduation rates. We have kids coming out of high school that can't add, can't read. So the answer isn't to just continue to throw money at the problem. The answer is to fix the problem. You don't have the problem fixed by continuing to have one pot of your company increasing while the rest of your company is being cut. I feel that number of $1.5 million is an equitable number, it's a fair number. And in addition to the school department, we have other departments in this city. We have other responsibilities in this city. We have a significant amount of other responsibilities. So what little money is left in the well has got to be dispersed amongst the entire population base of this city. And where population has gone from 88,000 to 81,000. That means we have 7,000 less people in the city, which means we have less taxpayers paying the bill. So, with that said, Mr. President, I'm perfectly content to stand our ground on this number. And the future will be the future. We're prepared to deal with that future. And we're prepared in this budget to deal with that future. Thank you.
And I would state, Councilman, that, you know, when you say other departments, we're also looking at deficits that need to be made up. So it's not even a situation where you have to worry about natural inflationary increases of gasoline, electricity, commodities that we're faced with. We're also faced with deficits that we had already previously testified. And one issue that I forgot to mention is, before we even started this process, we see an advertisement in the local paper that advertising for legal counsel to sue the city. So it is what it is. If we get sued, I think we've more than maintained maintenance of effort. And as far as I'm concerned, we'll defend ourselves in court if that's what it takes. If there's anyone else that wanted to speak on this, if not, clerk will call the roll. On the amendment. Amendment adding another $1.5 million to the school department budget.
Mr. Marola?
Yes.
Mr. Cawley?
Yes.
Mr. Gallucci?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lazzaro?
Yes.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
That's 9 yes.
That amendment stands passed. Any other amendments?
Oh, yes, Mr. President.
Councilman Lattiso.
Move to amend line item 18-400, contingency, to increase that to 85,000.
Okay. So there's been a request because of the microphone. We really couldn't hear you. If you could just talk into the microphone a little bit slower and a little bit louder so the clerks and the staff could write that down. As you know, we have to calculate whatever amendments come in at the end, and the line items. Thank you.
So that would be line item 18-400. The title is contingency. The proposed budget is $300,000, and the amendment is to increase it by $85,000.
Do I have a second?
I'm sorry, Mr. President, sorry. An error. The budget as presented is $100,000, and we'll be increasing it by $85,000 for a total of $185,000.
So, but the amendment still stands for that line item is an additional $85,000 in the contingency line item.
Correct.
Okay. Do I have a second on that motion? Second by Councilman Howe, Councilman McAllister. Do I have discussion on that? I would like to discuss $85,000 in a contingency line item. Contingencies mean anything. Anything that comes up. Could be a lawsuit. Could be things that we don't see in budgets. Could be deficits that we don't see. So I think looking at the position that we're in, looking at the number of issues that we're facing, I think that $85,000 is a wise investment to put in that contingency line item. Is there any other comment on that? If not, clerk will call the roll.
Mr. Marola?
Yes.
Mr. Cawley?
Yes.
Mr. Gallucci?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiso?
Yes.
McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
That's 9 yes.
Amendment stands passed. Any other amendments?
Yes, Mr. President. Line item 63-290, asphalt. The budget as presented is $1 million. The proposed amendment is to increase that line item by $4 million for a total of $5 million in asphalt.
Do I have a second on that? Councilman Howe, Councilman Ricks, Councilwoman Travis, Councilman McAllister. Do I have any discussion? I'm assuming we're going to have discussion on asphalt. Councilman Howe.
Thank you, Mr. President. And I'd like to say to my colleagues and to the public that if there's been any phone calls that we have received, and the biggest high item claim that we have taken care of is the roads. So I want to commend Chairman, and I want to commend you, Mr. President, and the Mayor Solomon on identifying the needs of the contingency of our constituents and the city and addressing this issue. Thank you.
Councilman Ricks.
I would also like to commend Mayor Solomon, Council President, the Finance Chair. This is much needed. We have complaints about the roads in Ward 2. As we heard in Ward 3, I'm sure it's a citywide most common complaint. I've seen roads that are in terrible shape that haven't been paved since 1980. It's ridiculous. And I'm glad that the council and the mayor are finally addressing this and taking this seriously. Thank you.
Councilman McAllister.
Thank you. I would also like to echo what my colleagues on the council said and thank the leadership of Mayor Solomon as well. This is the number one issue that I hear every single day. The roads, roads, roads. I went to Greenwood Elementary School last week and was a guest speaker along with Mayor Solomon. We spoke at two different classrooms, and we both heard from students about the potholes. And these kids don't even drive yet, so this is something that affects the entire everybody who uses our roads here, and that's why I will be supporting this amendment. Thank you.
Yes, Councilwoman Travis.
I also want to echo my colleagues. I think everyone in the city would agree with this line item. It's very much needed, and it's very much appropriated. And I thank the mayor, the council president, and the finance committee for bringing it up even higher than the other times. We thought we were doing good before, and it shows it wasn't good enough. This will do it. So thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Lattiser.
Oh, yes, thank you, Mr. President. Over the years, particularly since I've been on the council, there's been numerous times when we've attempted to increase this line item. There was occasions where it was vetoed and nothing changed. Month after month after month, we have not just our citizens here in Warwick, but citizens from out the entire state come before the Public Safety Commission, the claims, and this is an enormous time effort. It's just aggravating people. We have a cap on what we can award for the damages to their vehicles. It's just bizarre. Probably the loudest outcry that we've heard during the budget hearings from the community is about the conditions of the roads. So this is an investment that certainly is long overdue. We need to do it, and we need to take care of these roads. And the ultimate long-term challenge for us is to increase the tax revenue to the city. And one of the ways to increase the tax revenue is to give people reasons for coming back to the city and for staying in the city. And that's the things that we're looking to accomplish. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. I would also like to say and compliment my colleagues for supporting this amendment. This is one of the rare line items that goes directly back to the people, because it goes right into paving. There's really no administrative costs associated with it. You hire the paving company and it goes down. And as Councilman Lattiser said, this is something that is desperately needed. I remember only a few years ago, I think if anybody wants to look back at the budget on paving, I think it was about 4 years ago, $100,000. $100,000. I remember asking Mr. Picozzi year after year after year, and it got to the point where I wouldn't even have to ask the question at a council meeting. Mr. Picozzi would say, I know Councilman Merola is going to ask this question, so I'll give you the answer before you ask it. It's going to take over 100 years to repave each road, and the life expectancy of a road is 15 years. So we took our budget of $100,000, divided it by the amount of roads, and with the life expectancy of a road being about 15 years before it needs to be replaced. You know, I'd say this was long overdue, but that wouldn't be an adequate statement. It's so far overdue, it's heartbreaking when you see the community that you lived in all your life and the conditions of the roads. I remember as a kid riding my bike down Love Lane because I was a crossing guard for the school in sixth grade. Our reward was that we got to go to Rocky Point. So we would volunteer the whole year and then go to Rocky Point at the end of the year. But I remember the conditions of the roads back then, and it wasn't like this. And it's been neglected. It's long overdue. And Councilman Gallucci has his hand up, so I'll recognize Councilman Gallucci.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just a quick report to my colleagues. As your representative of the Kent County Water Authority, we have a number of roads, particularly in the 8th Ward and the 9th Ward, that are scheduled for repaving as we speak. My condition on any roads that are not state roads that we pave curb to curb. And as recently as 2 months ago, where we had an issue with the solar plant, we paved East Avenue. One of the conditions was, if the developer comes in and damages the road, they must repave curb to curb. So why I say this is here, again, the western part of the city, I tried to address to the best of my ability to ensure that we get our share of whatever paving goes on for the Water Authority. My hang-up was and continues to be state roads, particularly in Ward 7 and 8, where the state resurfaces, they don't go curb to curb. So one of my conditions of the zoning for the East Avenue area was that if there is damage, that the state paves curb to curb. And I think we have to address that for state roads throughout our city, rather than allow National Grid to do their patches. Thank you very much.
And I'd like to compliment you, Councilman Gallucci. I know you've served on that board for many years, and you've been outvoted by the other communities many, many times. And I would like to remind everybody and thank our state reps. I always felt that it was inappropriate that Warwick only had one representative on that board. And thanks to our state reps and state senators, they were able to change that. And we are going to be getting a second vote on the Kent County Water Authority Board. And I would like to say to my council members in Wards 1 through 6, look at our water bill from Kent County compared to the Warwick water bill. It's significantly higher. I always felt we got the short end of the stick, and with another representative from Warwick on that board, I hopefully will influence that board and those trends will start to change. But it is good to know that on top of this amount for paving, we're also going to be getting paving from Kent County, and I welcome that information. With that said, any other comments on the amendment which would raise road resurfacing in the city of Warwick to $5 million? If not, the clerk will call the roll.
Mr. Merola?
Yes.
Mr. Cawley?
Yes.
Mr. Gallucci?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
Nine yes.
Amendment stands passed. Are there any other amendments?
Yes, Mr. President.
Councilman Lattiser.
Line item 63249, chemicals and rodent control. The budget as presented is $1,000. The amendment is to increase by $20,000 for a total of $21,000.
Do I have a second? Councilman Ricks, Councilman Howe, Councilwoman Travis, and Councilman McAllister. Councilman Ricks, discussion.
Thank you, Council President. I'm pleased that our mayor and our city council are taking this issue seriously. For decades, just as Cranston, Providence, far as I can tell, every other major city and community in Rhode Island has had a program to take care of rodents, to address that, so that this is an area, this is an area where the city can provide its services efficiently and be able to take that burden away from the property owners who have the least ability to quickly address a public health issue before it spreads. The city can act quickly to respond to complaints, and for decades, the city did exactly that. I was very disappointed when last year Mayor Avedisian decided to discontinue this program, and I'm excited that under our new leadership, this program is being reinstated and adequately funded so that we can address any issues that may arise in this coming fiscal year and take care of it quickly and effectively. Thank you.
Councilman Lattiser.
Well, thank you, Mr. President. This is one particular item which, in terms of dollars and cents, it certainly isn't the biggest, nor is it the most expensive. But I would like to extend the compliment to Councilman Ricks, because this is not just a problem in your ward. This is a problem in the majority of our wards. It certainly could be a problem in any of our wards. But you, sir, are the one that took this challenge. You took it head on. You kept pressing for it. You brought it to everyone's attention. You weren't worried about a misperception. Your intent was to deal with a significant problem in your ward, which could also affect other wards. So, good job.
Is there anybody else that would like to speak on this? I would also like to say that Councilman Ricks, I think you almost set up a rodent patrol hotline, and you were the you were the switchboard operator on that. And you know, you talk about constituents and listening to your constituents as a council member, and I can think of no better example than something like this coming to the floor. As council members, we're one of nine, so we have to get consensus among all of us, and we know how difficult that is for all of us to agree on one issue. And there's a lot of debate when that happens. But at the end of the day, we need five votes. And when this issue was raised, I don't think I had one blink from any of the nine council members or Mayor Solomon, because we knew how passionately Mr. Ricks was advocating for that and what he saw as a need and his constituents saw as a need. And objectively, there is a need. I just saw an email the other day about an issue, and he continues to keep us advised on that. So with that said, hopefully this will solve this problem. I don't get many calls from Ward 9, in case anybody's wondering. But it is a significant issue, and I'm happy to support it. With that said, the clerk will call the roll.
Mr. Marola?
Yes.
Mr. Cawley?
Yes.
Mr. Gallucci?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lavasser?
Yes.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
The amendment stands passed. Next, do we have any other amendments? Yes, Councilman Lattiser.
Mr. President, line item 46-101, human resource salary. This is a correction item. It was a posting error, and it needs to be increased by $10,000 to bring it to $164,972.
Do I have a second on that amendment? Seconded by Councilman Howe, Councilman Ricks, Councilman McAllister. Discussion on that amendment? You said it's a correction?
That's correct.
All right. Any further discussion on that amendment?
Yes.
Yes. Hold on one sec. We need batteries. Hopefully batteries are in the budget for next year. Yes, Councilwoman Travis.
What number was it,
46-101. All right. Sorry.
And that was an error that the department had brought
That's
up
correct.
To us. Okay. Did you want to...
President, just have Councilman Lattiser repeat that last one, please.
Sure. Councilman Gallucci, that was an error that was made in that line item that the department had brought up to us, but I'll defer to Councilman Lattiser if you want to explain that further.
Yes, Mr. President. Councilman Gallucci, the department had indicated to me that there was an error. It was a clerical error in that particular line item, 46-101, and the error was a $10,000 error. So to correct that, we need to raise that budget item by $10,000.
Is it working?
Let me try again.
Just test.
Can you hear now, Councilman Gallucci? Okay.
Thank you.
So, line item 46-101, human resource salaries. The department had notified me that there was a clerical error in that particular item. The budget as presented was $154,972. And we need to increase it by the error of $10,000 for a new proposed budget of $164,972.
Just a question, if I may. Is that for an existing position, Councilman?
I believe it was. We can clarify that from finance on that $10,000 error. The question was that for an error in the math for an existing position?
It's not related to a new position, no. It's an existing position, I believe, as I understand it.
Give it to me again.
It's for an existing position, was the testimony?
Yes.
It's not for a new position, I think was the question. Thank you, Brian. Is there any other questions? If not, the clerk will call the roll.
Mr. Marola?
Yes.
Mr. Colley?
Yes.
Mr. Gallucci?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattice?
Yes.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
The amendment stands passed. Are there any other amendments? Councilman Lattice.
Line item 4119, Parks and Recreation. A motion to increase by $35,000 to bring the proposed budget to $200,000.
Do I have a second? Councilman Ricks, Councilman Howe, Councilman McAllister. And a good second by Councilwoman Travis. Okay. Any discussion on this line item? Councilman Lattice.
Mr. President, this was another item that a lot of attention was brought to at the budget hearings. There was a lot of conversation about the needs to increase the beach cleanups, to increase the conditions of our parks, and to increase some of the equipment that's on those parks, et cetera, et cetera. And I believe that the intent of Mayor Solomon is also to do those very things. We know that there are certain things that have been put by the wayside over the years, and the mayor is absolutely committed to increase those items for cleaner beaches, cleaner parks, safer sidewalks, and to have a positive impact on the environment. So, once again, this is going to the issues of what our citizens are saying are some of the things that they want and need.
Thank you. I would also like to say that we heard a lot of testimony about conditions of beaches, conditions of playground equipment, conditions of parks, and I agree with that. I think that we can do a better job, and I believe that line item for parks and recreation, increasing it to from 165 to 200,000 will make a big difference. I'd also like to compliment Councilwoman Travis. I know that you've been spearheading the issues down in Oakland Beach, trying to get those areas cleaned up, and I think that this is in a response to what you've been talking about, and members of the public have been talking about beach cleanups and parks and recreation equipment. And I think that this has been an area that's been neglected. I remember testimony from some members of the community that talked about that parks and recreation was one of the budgets that statistically over the last 15, 20 years has gone down significantly. And this is a response to what this council heard and what Mayor Solomon heard about what the community needs. And similar to road repaving and rodent control and parks and recreation, this is another line item that goes directly back to the people, directly back to our constituents, directly back to improving the quality of life here in Warwick. And I think it's an important amendment, and I compliment all of my colleagues for bringing this to everyone's attention and to advocating for this. Councilwoman Travis.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm very grateful that this got increased. It's something that we needed. We, the association, and we do a lot of cleanups. We work also with the Save the Bay to do cleanups. As you know, we put those new Potbelly solar trash cans down there. We try every way we can possibly do to keep our beaches clean. And I know with the extra help now, it should help even more. So again, thank you. This was very much appreciated.
Thank you. Councilman Lattisaw.
Yes, Mr. President. Councilwoman Travis, I'd like to expand on that a bit as well. Long before I got on the council, you have always been a very, very strong advocate of everything that is going on in Oakland Beach, particularly cognizant of maintaining the quality of life down there. You are spearheading and certainly behind many activities that go on down in Oakland Beach. A lot I couldn't even spit off on the top of my head. And when you have that type of community involvement and that type of community activity and participation, you're going to have some associated maintenance with the residual effect of all the good that's happening there. So, $200,000, an additional $35,000 is something that's very necessary, and kudos for your efforts on that and constantly pressing for that. Thank you.
I would just like to say one of the people on my staff at work were talking about what a great experience they had down at Oakland Beach because they have a classic car. Her and her boyfriend have a classic car, and they went down, I think it was Tuesday night, and what a wonderful experience they had down there on Tuesday. But with wonderful experiences come wonderful messes. And if you want to improve the quality of life, you want to encourage people to come to Warwick, this is an area that needs it. It's been neglected, and I'm so happy to see that we're addressing it. It was long overdue. Councilman McAllister.
Thank you. I also like to commend Councilwoman Travis for her leadership on this issue. This is something that we all benefit from. We have beautiful surroundings here in the city, and we want to keep them up that way. You know, I've been a part of a number of cleanups around the city. People take a lot of pride in where they live, and we want to, you know, keep the environment clean. We want to, you know, make it attractive for people to continue to come in, and then they can stop for lunch. You know, maybe stop at some of our local stores and really keep the thriving community. So I just, again, I will be supporting this and thank Councilwoman Travis for her leadership on this. Thank you.
Councilman Corley.
The condition of our parks, recreation, and beach areas is a citywide issue. It is a issue in Oakland Beach, it's an issue in Ward 1, and it's an issue throughout the other wards. Next week we're going to be walking in the Gatsby Day Parade, and when we get to the Salter Grove area, if you look to your right, you're going to see a swing set that is not as nice a swing set as any single swing set in any of the neighborhoods in my ward. That is going to be replaced because of a local group. The Friends of Salter Grove have been advocating for the past 2 years to try to have that improved. And through the cooperation with Senator McCaffrey and Representative Joe McNamara, the state is going to be funding a new playground area for children in the amount of $100,000, and also they're going to be putting a causeway so that people can access the seawall across the jetty that has been broken down over time, which has been a safety issue. There are other playgrounds in Ward 1 that people are advocating to have upgrades, and I agree that we need to actually go back and start over again on our recreational facilities to understand and hear the testimony by the director of the Parks and Recreation concerning the condition of our athletic fields, like Mickey Stevens, where it was a thriving athletic arena at one point, to the point where we had a snack bar there to accommodate all the people that used to come. And now that snack bar has been closed, has been vandalized, and is going to be torn down. That is not a positive statement about our commitment towards making Warwick a more friendly city for recreation. And recreation attracts families with children. Families with children help fill the schools. All of this is tied together. And the improvement to the roads helps us be able to get to the school buildings, get to the recreation, get to the beaches, get to the malls. And if people are dissatisfied with the condition of the roads, all of the other parts of our budget really are affected by that.
Councilman Cooley, I noticed one of our members needed a break, and I didn't want him to miss your testimony. Could we take a five-minute recess? I'm sorry.
That's fine. I can wait.
Okay. Can I have a motion for a five-minute recess?
Motion for
a
five-minute recess.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Well, the council will stand in adjournment for 5 minutes.
He should have took the elevator.
City Council, come to order. If council members could take their seats. And Councilman Corley, I think I interrupted you, so I apologize. If you could continue on that line item. I believe we're on the parks and recreation.
Thank you, Mr. President. I was using the opportunity to talk about parks and recreation in order to just talk about the unique circumstances that we're faced with this year in coming to a budget. I've heard some comments about being content, and it's not the word that I would use. I'm not content with the some of the decisions that we have to make. However, this is a very unique year because we have a mayor that has only been in office for several weeks. We do not have a permanent finance director. The tax assessor situation has been in flux for the last couple of months. There's been no chance for the new mayor and administration to have the time to receive any results of an audit to validate the accuracy of the numbers from all of the departments. And this, we are making a decision that we are bound by the law to come up with this budget within this time frame. And I don't believe there's anyone on the council that feels fully informed about all of the financial situation of every department that we have. We are doing our best to exercise our judgment, our experience, and our intuition in order to set a tax rate that we can begin the new year that may or may not have to be adjusted as we go forward. We have problems throughout the city that have to be addressed. We have problems with our schools, with our roads, our parks, recreation, beaches, and the general infrastructure of city government and the buildings. All of these things have to be addressed, and we need to try to work on our budget process so that as we go forward with a new administration, we are provided with quarterly reports that are accurate so that we do not have to try to play catch up in the last week before the budget has to be finalized so that we can have a better ability to have information throughout the year to see how we are progressing and to be able to make informed decisions that are not crunched into the last minute. Right now, it's as if the city is under siege and we are trying to use Band-Aids to deal with amputations and other types of fiscal injuries that the city is facing. It's a very difficult process, and I believe everyone is trying to work together to share the financial pain throughout the city and to be able to equitably distribute what limited resources we have at the least amount of cost to the taxpayers. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any other discussion on parks and recreation, the addition of $35,000 to the budget? If not, the clerk will call the roll. Yes.
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 Okay, that amendment stands passed. Councilman Lattisaw.
The next item is line item 36101, building inspection salaries. That needs to be increased from the presented budget of $890,397 to $940,397, which is a $50,000 increase.
Do we have a second for that? Second, Councilman Howe, Councilman McAllister. Discussion, Councilman Lattisaw.
The reason for that is in the personnel supplement, there was only two inspectors included in that budget item when, in fact, there is three. And I did confirm to the previous year there was also the same amount. So it's it was another typo error in the information that we were provided. So that's why that needs to get increased to 50.
Any other discussion? Brian. The mic's not on, Brian.
I just wanted to clarify the finance chair. The total for personnel services was the $893.67 that the chairman read. The line item that is changing currently has a proposed budget of $875,367.
Thank you.
Is your amendment, the amendment's correct at 50? Okay. Is there any other discussion? And I recall a conversation I had with you, Councilman Lattisaw, if you can just mention that again, about revenue generating this position and the significance and what the goals are in this department so the public could understand that too.
Yeah, that's a very good point, Mr. President. So as we all know, we have somewhere in the vicinity of between 300 and 400 vacant and abandoned homes here in the city. Those properties are becoming, not becoming, they are a negative impact on our economy. There's maintenance costs associated with trying to keep up with those. There's police, fire responses, et cetera. The reason I say that this is essentially a revenue-generating department is because the faster building permits can be pushed out, the faster inspections can be done, that's site inspections, the faster and more enforcement that we can have as a city on these vacant and abandoned homes, in addition to the host of an incredible amount of other minimum housing issues that our inspectors run on, the sooner we can get all these things corrected, the sooner we can get more of these vacant and abandoned homes on the tax rolls and clean up some of the blight that we have throughout the city, the better we will be on the revenue side. When we get to an improvement in those various venues. That is just another step towards encouraging people to want to stay here in the city of Warwick and want to move into the city of Warwick. A lot of these vacant and abandoned homes that we are unable to sell right now, we have since gone to the General Assembly. We have support from the General Assembly in what's called a receivership action. There's actually several cases coming before Judge Gerson-Blatt recently that's going to allow the city to put these homes in the receivership. A lot of these homes, in my opinion, will be generating young families. And young families are going to help, contrary to what some people think, young families are going to have a positive impact on our schools, in our communities. So this is one department that I classify as a revenue-generating department.
Thank you. And just to follow up on that thought, you know, we do see, and all of the council members have talked about properties in their wards where they've been abandoned that banks or mortgage companies have taken over, where the grass isn't getting cut. You need people out there issuing the violations, pushing those matters forward. And to me, this is another example of a line item that is directly impacting the quality of life for the people we represent, because you don't want to live next to or drive down the street in your neighborhood and see a dilapidated, property that has foot-high grass that's not being taken care of. And it takes, the process takes, in some case, months, because you have to give a notice, you have to give them an opportunity to be heard, and then they get another violation where you go to the municipal court. The municipal court can issue fines and require them to be cleaned up. And if that doesn't happen, they have to get another notice and come back again. And I would like to compliment you, Councilman Lattice, because I know that because of your efforts, many times after the person would come back and say, it's been cleaned up, or the entity would come back and say, it's cleaned up, a month would go by and the grass would start to grow again. And we'd have to start the process all over again. So, and I'd also like to compliment the municipal court, because in those situations, they've been holding those matters to make sure that, as we do in most other cases, we have a review date. We have that in criminal a lot to make sure that people are supposed to be doing what they're doing. And because of that, it's prevented some reoccurring problems, and that's a good thing, so that our constituents don't have to wait. Is there any other discussion, Councilman McAllister?
Yes, just to echo the comments made by the finance chair and the council president. Again, I believe this is a revenue generating, but it also goes directly to our neighborhoods, and it goes along with the trend that we are looking at today, this morning, with increasing for the roads, for the asphalt, parks and rec, and now this. This is all in our neighborhoods. We all live around there. It's going to make safer homes, cleaner homes, cleaner neighborhoods, brings less attention, less people breaking in to abandoned properties and stuff like that. And it's all part of the trend of just keeping our community, a clean, safe, and fun environment. So thank you.
Thank you. Any other discussion? If not, the clerk will call the roll. It is line item 36-101. Correct, Councilman?
Correct. That's correct.
Yes.
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 Okay. Are there any other amendments? Councilman Lattice.
Yes, Mr. President. The last amendment I have is 85-195. The title is Municipal Pension, and there is a reduction at the request of the department of $60,941, because I believe that number had been overfunded, and Brian, if you could speak to it more.
Why don't we get a second on the floor before we start discussion? Councilman Howe, Councilman Ricks, Councilman McAllister. The motion.
Yes.
Could you repeat the line item number?
Certainly. It's 85-195 municipal pension.
Okay, the motion's been seconded. Brian, if you could step to the podium.
Brian Sylvia, City Treasurer. As the Finance Chair mentioned, when the city received its actuary reports this
year... Could you speak a little bit closer to the mic, Brian?
Sure. Yeah. When the city received its actuary reports this year, the municipal pension, there was an ARC number for the coming year, FY19, listed within the report. It was listed differently in the report in two separate places. It was an error. We budgeted the higher of the two numbers until we get a confirmation from our actuary. It is the lower number. This is reducing it to the actual ARC for the year.
Thank you, Brian. And I think
Thank you, Brian.
I think I speak on behalf of the entire council and also Mayor Solomon when we say this process has been frustrating for us. Because there's always something, and I appreciate Brian and Lynn's work in trying to find out where these items are. And I think Councilman Corley summed it up a few minutes ago, that we continue to find items like this. And Councilman, Mayor Solomon has only been on the job 2.5 weeks. I think that His call for a audit from the independent third party, the Rhode Island Public Expenditures Council, was spot on. We need it. It seems like there's something, the shoe drops, as they say, on the other foot almost every day. We find out something different than a number we're relied on. It makes it very difficult to present an accurate budget and to plan for contingencies. And again, Brian, thank you for bringing that to our attention. And I wouldn't be surprised in the coming months if we find other issues that we didn't know about when we voted on this budget. With that said, is there any other discussion on that line item, reducing our pension contribution based on the actuary's revised number? Councilman Corley.
I just want to clarify, the number that we have in the proposed budget is $6,789,083, and whatever the motion is to reduce that number. I just want to make sure I'm correct on that.
Per the actuary report for the city for FY19, the ARC for the year should be $6,728,142, which is the net of the amendment from what was proposed.
Mr. President, so, could you say it's lower, the six?
And I'm a little bit confused, so I was going to interrupt you for a second, Councilman Corley. Councilman Lattisaur, I thought that this didn't reduce the ARC, but maybe is that right, Brian? Could you?
What was proposed? So within the actuary's report, on page one, it lists the ARC for the year at $6,789,083. Then on page 13 of the report, it lists the ARC for the year at $6,728,142. So it was differing numbers. We went back to our actuary. They confirmed it was the number on page 13. The number, the other number is wrong, and we're correcting that.
Okay. I thought, based on the fact, and correct me if I'm wrong, that
there are issues with amount of money coming in and expenditures. And I didn't know that we were going to reduce that line item. I thought you were just announcing that it was different.
No, what was in the report?
In other words, go ahead.
Sorry. What was in the report was wrong. Until we had a confirmation from the actuary what the true arc for next year was, we went with the higher of the two numbers in the budget.
Well, I didn't know that we were actually reducing it down. I just think that you wanted to, in transparency, sure, let us know, sure, that you believe it's the difference of the two.
Yes.
And I think, I don't know that we needed an amendment on the floor to do that. At least that's my understanding. Sure. Because as far as the contributions goes, if it's... So to succinctly state what I'm trying to say, there are the point that I think Councilman Lattiso was trying to make is that there are errors that we're becoming aware of. The actuary gave us two numbers, mm-hmm, the higher number and the lower number. What you're telling us is it may be the lower number.
He's confirmed for us. The actuary, okay, has confirmed it's the lower.
All right. So I don't know if that needs to be adjusted down or it doesn't, that payment. And the reason that I say that is from a tax perspective, any reductions that we make increase taxes. So if we had budgeted that and we reduce it, then we're just going to make it up with some sort of tax increase, which I don't know that I want to create another situation where you're reducing it, and then you have to make up ground on the tax rate when that $60,000 can be put into the overall general fund and not raise the taxes since it was built in there already. I don't know if you want to withdraw the amendment or... In other words, that line item is overfunded.
Correct.
And it's already built in here. If... I think it's... You're going to create a situation where you reduce it and then you're going to have to make it up with other line items. I don't know. Semantically, you end up in the same position. But why don't we just, I'd like to take a 5-minute recess because I'm very confused on this item. So just to have an opportunity to talk to him, the treasurer, about that. Yes.
Motion for 5-minute recess.
Okay. Thank you. I'll second. All's in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. Council, come to order. If council members could take their seats. So I'm going to resume my conversation with Brian again, if you could explain what we're trying to do again.
Sure.
With this amendment.
Yes. What was proposed in the budget was an estimated arc because we had two different numbers. There was an error within the actuary report. We've gotten confirmation from our actuary. We're going to fund 100% of the ARC based on the amendment, the lower number, and we're reducing it because those funds, the higher number is not needed. That $60,000 is not needed within the budget to fund municipal pensions.
Okay. Thanks for that explanation. Is there any other questions? If not, clerk will call the roll. Yes.
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 Amendment stands passed. Are there any other amendments? If there are no other amendments, I would ask for a 5 or 10 minute recess so that the treasurers could take some time to figure out the impact. Made by Councilwoman Travis, second by Councilman McAllister and Councilman Lattisarm, Councilman Howe. We'll stand in recess for 10 minutes to allow the Finance Department to calculate those amendments. Council will come to order. I know that we've made amendments. I think there was one other amendment that needed to be made by Councilman Lattisarm. I know the treasurer's office had gone down and calculated amendments, etc. If you could make a motion to amend, and then we'll have a second. You can read those into the record.
Make a motion to amend the tax rate.
Do I have a second? Councilman Howe, Councilman Ricks, Councilman McAllister, Councilwoman Travis. Go ahead, Councilman.
The amendments, Mr. President, will be the tax revenue rates for Class 1 property not to exceed $20.80, Class 2 property not to exceed $31.19, Class 3 property not to exceed $41.59, and Class 4 property remains unchanged.
Thank you. Those are the amendments. Those are based on the amendments that we made. Is there any questions? You got one other amendment you got to read into the record.
That's correct. So the fiscal year 2019 general fund total, account number 100-03100, property tax. The proposed budget was $230,411,901. The approved amendments today were $5,639,059 for an adjusted budget of $236,050,960.
Okay. So that's been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion on that? If not, the council will call the roll. The clerk, sorry, the council.
Mr. Marola?
Yes.
Mr. Kowali?
Yes.
Mr. Gallucci?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattisarm?
Yes.
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
That's a yes.
The amendment stands approved. Could you move that as amended?
I move PCR 8518, setting the tax rate as amended.
Do I have a second? Councilman Howe, Councilman McAllister, Councilwoman Travis, Councilman Gallucci, Councilman Ricks. Any discussion on all the amendments? We've already had that. If not, the clerk will take the roll.
Mr. Marola?
Yes.
Mr. Kowali?
Yes.
Mr. Gallucci?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattisarm?
Yes.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
Next item on the agenda is PCO 8618, a resolution relative to transfers, supplemental appropriations, and emergency appropriations. Councilman Lattisarm.
Move favorable action on PCR 86-18.
Do I have a second? Councilman Howe and Councilman McAllister. Any discussion? This is the appropriations if there were line items left that were unfunded or underfunded. That moves the appropriation over into the general fund. Then if there's not any questions, the clerk will call the roll.
Mr. Marola?
Yes.
Mr. Kowali?
Yes.
Mr. Gallucci?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattisarm?
Yes.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
All right. PCR 8618 stands passed. They have a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
A motion adjourned by Councilman Lattisarm, Councilman Howe, Councilwoman Travis, Councilman McAllister. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? City Council stands adjourned.